Y'all won't say it, they will. Pastor Karen, but I'm trying with this, but I may need to take your hand. We read this morning from 15th chapter of John. I am the true vine, my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he purges, so it can bring more fruit.
Yeah. Amen.
That ye are clean through the word which I've spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you.
Yes.
As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except me abide in me. I'm the vine. You're the branches. And he that abides in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch that is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they're burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it'll be done unto you. The old preachers used to say, I don't have a text, but if I did, we'd call it this.
All right.
So I guess I'll say the same thing. I don't have a text, but if I did, I would call it this. Is it time for an upgrade?
Time for an upgrade.
In Psalm 80th chapter, verses 8 through 16, Israel is being poignantly portrayed as a vine, which is spread throughout the whole land, only to be torn down, devoured, and burnt at the time of exile. The vineyard motif, again, is taken up in the book of Isaiah, chapter 5, verses 1 through 7, where a moral reason is given for the destruction. Israel had failed God, Jeremiah 2 and 21, and it was the pastors who were to blame. Divine image was familiar to Jesus' first disciples. A golden vine adorned one of the gates of the temple. The symbol was so ingrained in common psyche of the people that was portrayed on the coins that were minted during the revolt against Rome. In the seventh significant I am sayings in the book of John's gospel, we come across this: I am the true vine.
I am the true vine.
Jesus was identifying himself as the messianic son of God that was talked about in the 80th Psalm.
That's right.
Jesus is the true fulfillment of Israel's mission.
That's right.
And those who are rooted in him are to be ambassadors to a fallen world. The same God who once tended the rebellious vineyard of Israel is now identified as God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now here we are at John, the vine dresser, now tending to the branches of a true vine. I'm used to just kind of looking at my notes and going off, but last night I was fearful that I wouldn't be able to get through it, so I went and I wrote and typed a whole bunch of stuff down. So I'm going to try not to read to you this morning, but I'm asking you for just be patient with me. Because next week I'm going to get with you, but today we just going to talk. Is that all right? There's some people who become attached or attracted to church. And they're not true believers, but they like to have a covering, they like to have a feeling. Or a belonging. They like to feel or belong to a family. They like what they can get from the church. They like how the church makes them feel. So they start to give and the church takes it. Then they invite their friends and they become attached or attracted as well. But they never really become members. They're belongers.
Come on now.
All right.
Why? Because some are working it out, whatever that means.
Yeah, come on now.
You'll never get it fully worked out.
No.
My pastor was Reverend Bassett, was my pastor for 26 years, and he said to me one time, he said, I've been watching you and you stopped taking communion. I said, well, I've got something I'm trying to work out. And he said, well, you best get it done, because what happens if the Lord comes back before you get it worked out?
Yeah.
Come on now.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. Come
on.
Yeah.
Talk to him.
Then we start to watch our words.
Uh-huh.
You start to not preach certain things.
Yes, right.
You start to not talk about certain things.
That's
because,
right.
See, we've got belongers but not believers.
Yeah.
So we begin to
compromise
ourselves. And I've been preaching that compromise brings separation.
That's right.
Doesn't it?
So we start to sing differently.
Yes, we do.
To make the world more comfortable in the church house.
Yeah, we do.
We start to dress differently because we say it doesn't take all that anymore.
That's right. Come on, talk to us.
And then the pastor just kind of smooths it over.
Yeah.
Come on, tell the truth.
Yeah.
We come up and smooth it over.
Yeah.
Amen.
Why? Because we need the money.
Come on, talk to us.
And then we sit up here, smooth it over, and try to approve disorder.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm.
And we know that we can't approve what God has already disapproved.
That's right.
Okay, I guess this is going to go in a different direction. But if it was wrong when Jesus was here,
right.
It's wrong now.
Wrong.
See, and we get on this thing that we're all, he's old school. No, no, the Bible is right.
Yes.
It was right then,
yes.
And it's right now. And tomorrow is still going to be right.
Yes.
So if it was wrong when Jesus was here, it's wrong now.
Yes.
And if it's wrong now, it's going to be wrong
Word.
Tomorrow.
Yes. Come on, come to
it. Make it plain.
On Thursday,
yes.
In this holy house, the people that own this building have spent nearly $10,000 to bring a cussing pastor from Colorado.
Come on, come on.
To stand behind this sacred desk and cuss.
Come on, come on, talk to him.
And I'm supposed to smooth it over. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm getting up out of here.
Mm. All right, now.
I'm going to slather this thing down with so much oil, they're going to be like this on Thursday.
Yeah.
Come on, talk to him.
Everything isn't all right.
No, it's not.
Come as you are, yes, but don't stay that way. At Restoration, we're going to call black and white, spade a spade. If it looks like it, and it sounds like it, and it acts like it, we're going to call it what it is.
That's
right.
Well, they say when someone shows you who they really are, we go believe them, right?
That's right.
Then we go pray for them and move on. Don't twist it up now. I'm not standing before you trying to claim or pretend to be perfect. The Bible says all of us sin and come short of the glory of every single one of us. Every preacher, your mama, your daddy, your choir director, every bishop, every robe-wearing pastor, every collar-wearing deacon, everybody you see on TV, T.D. Jakes, all of them, all have sinned. My grandma was a wonderful, beautiful woman. Everybody knew her, says she was the closest thing walking on earth next to Jesus. Well, let me tell you, she still fell short.
Hallelujah.
All of sin. But it's not about what you did. It's about what you're doing.
Yeah.
So I ask you, what did you do last night?
Mm-hmm.
Don't say it out loud.
What did you do?
Who did you do it with?
Uh-huh.
And we want God to bless our mess.
Yeah.
See, sometimes you know we can get sitting in a place too long, doing the same old thing, and we hear a voice telling us to get it together. We already know what we need to do.
Yeah.
We need to repent. We need to change our mind.
Yeah.
We need to turn our direction. But after a while of us not doing that, God will leave us right there.
Come on.
See, we don't preach that stuff. God will leave you right there. And what happens? Before you know it, you get comfortable. And then you get acclimated with your own mess. It becomes commonplace for you to sleep around with your co-workers. Who does that?
Come on now.
But it becomes commonplace. It becomes commonplace for you to drink and smoke.
Come on.
Commonplace.
Commonplace.
It becomes commonplace to say things like, it's my life.
No.
And what I do with it, it's my business. No, God gave you your life. It belongs to Him.
That's right. Yeah. Come on, talk to us.
We get so comfortable that we don't even smell the stench of sin on our own lives.
Come on now.
Mercy.
Hallelujah.
We get comfortable, so comfortable everything else and everybody else is wrong. So comfortable that we don't even cry out to God.
That's
we
right.
get so arrogant that we think we've got it all together.
That's
and
right.
the Bible says you're like a filthy rag.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
What we need in our lives is an upgrade.
Yeah.
Hebrews 12 and 14. It says, Without holiness, it's impossible to please God.
Yeah.
Without holiness, it's impossible to please God. Without holiness, it's impossible to please God.
Oh yeah.
I guess I should get back to what I was supposed to be talking about.
Let the Lord have it with.
What we need is an upgrade, my brothers and sisters. An upgrade is a phrase that we're all familiar with, right?
Yeah, come on.
I know some of y'all have pulled out some cell phones in my presence, and I said, my God, should they need an upgrade?
Hallelujah.
How can you even function? I teased Pastor Holmes. I said, where's your iPhone? She says, I don't have one. I said, come on over to this side. When you walk into a cell phone store, they're going to try to give you an upgrade.
Yes,
they're going to sell you one.
They're
going to give you anything. You go to McDonald's and order something. I'm good for a number two with no onions, large with a Coke. Hey, but you know, they'll always say, would you like to supersize?
Yes.
That's an upgrade. They also charge you for it.
Yes. Pay other costs.
Right? An upgrade happens when we go from nothing to something.
Yeah.
From something then to everything. Mm-hmm. When we go from poverty to plenty, when we go from sowing to reaping.
Yeah.
It happens when we go from where we are now.
Yeah.
To where God really wants us to be.
Right.
In other words, it happens when we move from ordinary things to extraordinary works.
Yeah.
That's an upgrade. But you need to ask for it.
Yeah.
It's my firm belief that God, and I said this last week, that God has a plan for each and every one of our lives.
Yeah.
When he made me with a specific job in mind.
Yeah.
And like Job, amen, when you have a job to do, are you following me?
Yeah.
You're the best for that job.
Yeah.
And that is why God made you.
Yeah.
And in order to have the best job that you have, you've got to have a test. I'm not just going to hand you the keys to my business.
Come on now.
Thank you.
Until I test you.
Come on, talk to us.
I want to know who you are. Where do you go? What do you do when you think nobody sees you?
That's right.
Come on now.
Hello.
Come on.
This point, right now, where we are, is just a starting point. It's not a stopping point. It's a stepping stone.
Yeah.
See, you know, the people say catchphrases, and they say, oh, this is a setback for a comeback, and all that stuff sounds cute. But when you're going through the same stuff over and over and over again, when you have the same relationship woes, right?
Come on.
When you live life and every day is like it was the day before.
Come
when
on.
You look back over your life and you've got the same conflicts and the same problems that you had last year, you need an upgrade.
Upgrade.
The same thing over and over and over again, expecting a different result is what? It's insanity. If you're surrounded by conflict and fighting,
come on,
and it's you,
yeah,
you're the problem.
Yes.
Yeah.
You need an upgrade.
Upgrade. Hallelujah.
See, we blame folks for stuff. I'm fighting with you, I'm fighting with this one, I'm fighting with that. Well, if it's I'm.
Yeah.
The common denominator would be you.
Yeah. Yes.
So that would indicate that you're the problem.
Yes.
And when your stuff doesn't work right, what do? We unplug it. We plug it back in. We turn it off. We turn it back on. We try to reset it. But sometimes you just need to get rid of it and get a new one because you need an upgrade.
Yes. Yes.
And we can do that with ourselves, right?
Yes.
Amen.
If you're still dealing with the same deadbeat personalities of your past, you need an upgrade.
Yes.
Well, they say if your boo makes you boo-hoo, then you need an upgrade.
Come on.
See, I'm going to stay there for just a second.
Come on.
Because
brief to it.
I get emails, we get phone calls, I know you get them. I know you have them. We need couples counseling. We need marriage counseling.
Yeah.
Then you sit down and you're looking at the two, and you got to be careful what you say because people will come back and then now they can sue you. So now pastors have to have liability insurance.
Oh.
Never had to have it before, but now we have to have it. But you're looking at two people who are unequally yoked.
That's right.
The Bible talks about being unequally yoked. If your credit score is 900 and his is 425, keep moving. You're unequally yoked. If you believe in Jesus Christ and he doesn't, keep moving. You're unequally yoked.
Keep moving.
What God joins together, nobody's going to put that down. Nobody can put it down.
Come on now.
And can I share something with you? The Bible says when a man finds a wife, he finds what? A good thing. It doesn't say when he finds a side piece.
Thank you.
Or a piece. Can I tell you the truth? It says when he finds a wife, he finds a good thing. So if you want a husband, then you've got to carry yourself as a wife.
Hello.
Yeah, come on, talk to us.
Come on now.
You are messy and want us to come rescue you. I walk right by you. Bless you. And I keep on going.
Yeah.
Right?
That's
God. Right.
Because God brings us all to a place he knows we're tired because of what we've already been through. But in response to what God is doing, we should be pleading our case before the Lord.
Yes.
He knows that we're tired of the norm, and he knows that we need an upgrade.
Yes.
But we've got to ask for it. In other words, we should want more out of our walk with the Lord in 18 than we had in 17.
Yes.
You should want to grow more.
Hallelujah.
You should want to know more about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ah, hallelujah.
There's a man that came to this church. I'm going to call you out and sit right there in a plaid shirt. Right there. Look at him. When he came here, he wouldn't have to look in my eyes. Didn't say much to anybody. I asked him to pray one Sunday. I said, I'll never ask him to do that again. Then they started, every time the door opened, there he was.
Come on, talk to him.
Sometimes here before I get here.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's here when I leave. Call me on the phone. Can somebody pick me up? Yeah, we'll be right there.
Yeah.
And now.
Yeah.
Ask him to pray.
Hallelujah.
He'll pray out of Sunday school like a deacon.
Yeah.
Make you jump up out your seat.
Come
That's
on.
Growth.
Hey. Hallelujah.
He saw Jesus and he wanted more of it.
Yeah.
And he went after it.
Yeah.
Because the Bible says, I stand at the door and knock.
Yeah.
And if you just open it up, I'll come in and I'll take care of the rest of it. But you've got to open up the door.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
You should want more of Jesus.
Yeah.
See, you're quiet. I talk to myself.
Hallelujah.
I just talk to me. Even though it causes more pain, sweat, and tears on this side.
Come on now.
I know that when we get to the other side, whatever we'll reap the benefit.
Yeah.
See, because I can't take any of this stuff with me.
Hallelujah.
So I ain't worried about it.
Thank you.
Because my reward is on
us.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
I don't know. See, sometimes we come to church and I wonder, do you come just to see what I'm going to do?
Come on.
What robe is he going to have on today? What's Carrie going to say? How's Zach going to beat the drum? Who the toy play?
Come on now.
I don't know. We go through a lot during the week, right?
Yeah.
Amen.
We should come to church and we should come, we should come because we need more.
Mm-hmm.
We need more of it.
Uh-huh.
But see, that's a personal thing.
Yes.
I wish I could do this justice, but I'm just so tired. I'm gonna
say, come on, talk to us. Talk to us.
I don't come to church just to come.
Mm-hmm.
And I came today specifically because I started to call you last night and say, can you just go on ahead and preach?
Amen.
And I started calling you this morning and say, just go. I'm coming, but just go on ahead and preached.
Hallelujah.
And I was in the shower, and the Lord said to me, said, you know, not verbatim, obviously, but I just got this conviction in
Amen.
My spirit. But we're coming up on Good Friday, and nothing that the Lord endured is anything remotely close to how I feel right now.
Come on now.
So the least I can do.
The least
I can do,
yes,
is give him my best.
Give him your best.
Even
give
if my best isn't what it was last week.
Come on.
Amen.
Come on.
So I came today because I need an upgrade.
Yeah. Thank you, Jesus.
Do you need an upgrade?
Amen.
See, y'all want me to say, do you need an upgrade? Come on, y'all. Do you need an upgrade? Be honest with yourself. Do you need an upgrade in your life? See, I do. I need an upgrade because I need an upgrade in my prayer life.
Yeah.
So I can learn how to love my enemies more unconditionally.
Yeah.
I need an upgrade in my relationships so I can learn how to be more patient.
See,
I need an upgrade in my worship so I can give God my best all the time.
Yeah.
I need an upgrade in my patience.
Yeah.
So those that I love who work on my last black nerve.
Yeah.
I can just love them.
Come on.
That's all right.
I need an upgrade for my family and my church family.
Come on now.
So that we can be a living example.
Yeah.
Not just here, but in the street.
Yeah.
See, I'm quick. I'm quick to come out with something.
Come on, come on.
I'm quick to text something.
All right.
That really isn't my true heart.
Come on.
But I'm quick with it.
Come on.
So I'm asking the Lord to help me be more patient. I need an upgrade in my patience.
Right.
Let me say my tolerance, because I won't tolerate foolishness.
Come on.
Any day of the week.
Hallelujah.
But I need an upgrade in my patience.
Come on.
Anybody need anything?
Yes.
Are you willing and bold enough to tell him what it is? I don't need to know.
Yeah.
But you need to get with that today.
Yeah.
You gotta be willing and honest.
Honest.
With God about yourself.
Yeah.
See, he knows already. He knows already what's wrong with us, right?
Yeah.
But it's something about putting English to our sins and laying them at the feet of the Father that makes a difference.
Yes,
we pancake ourselves and we say, Lord, forgive me for my sins.
Come
and it sounds good, but if we put English to it and we say, Lord, forgive me for sleeping with somebody else's wife.
Come on.
Lord, forgive me for taking that it didn't belong to me. Lord, forgive me for cussing at my mother. Lord, forgive me for hitting my wife. Lord, forgive me for just being ignorant.
Come on.
When you put words to it, it makes a big difference.
Come on.
You have to be honest with yourself. If you want God to really use you.
Come on now. All right. Praise to
him. What we need in our lives is an upgrade. Because God wants us to be truthful, honestly. He wants us to want more of it.
Yeah.
You're in a relationship with somebody. Don't you want them to want more of you?
Yes.
Come on.
Right? You want them to want more of you.
Yeah.
Like you want more of them.
Yeah.
If you're just giving and giving and giving, and the other person is just sucking it up like a sponge, you need an upgrade.
Yeah.
Don't go home and get divorced. Don't look at your wife right now or whoever it may be. But you got to work that out.
Amen.
In this text, Jesus gives us some biblical instructions on how to get an upgrade. There's an upgrade from God in the text that is before us, and all we have to do is activate our faith and trust that Jesus is our Lord and our Savior. The first thing we must do is to be restored by the Word of God, because it matters.
Yeah,
our restoration matters.
Yeah.
The biblical foundation of this church is taken from 1 Peter. It says
after.
You've suffered a little while.
A little while.
Right?
Yes.
How holy and spiritual we think we are. There's always room for an upgrade.
Oh, yeah.
No matter how smart you are, no matter how much education you have, no matter how much money you have, there's always room for an upgrade. When you think that you know it all, that's when you can't be used. You can't be used anymore. You have to be open to have an upgrade. You have to be open because God, a tree never stops growing until it dies. there is nothing that can lift us better than the Word of God.
Come on, man.
Nothing. Nothing, nothing. There's nothing that can lift us better than the Word of God. Alcohol may lift you up, but come see me in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
Tell me how you feel in the morning.
Come on now.
And then we'll talk about how to lift it up. Yeah. You may feel drugs may lift you up, but see me on the way down. Come on, somebody. Act like you don't know what I'm talking about. In this text, Jesus is preparing his disciples for his trip to Calvary. See, we're on our way to the crucifixion.
Yeah.
And he was aware of the difficulties that they would have without his physical presence. And therefore, he assures them of a continued relationship. And he advises them to stay plugged into the source of their power. And he takes a walk in the vineyard and he utters these words, I am the vine. And my Father takes care of the vineyard. He removes every one of the branches that doesn't produce fruit. So if you're sitting here and you're not producing anything, God is going to move you.
Oh, my Lord.
But here's the thing. If you do produce fruit, he's going to prune you back.
Yes,
and pruning hurts, doesn't it? But why does he do it? So you can produce more fruit. Look at this. God's a vine dresser. He's the one that planted the vine. He planted Jesus as the true vine in the incarnation. God is the one that prunes the branches. So look at the parable. It's important to understand that branches are connected to the vine.
They're
connected, but they're believers.
Yes, they are.
So I'm talking to believers. How do you know that? Because branches grow because of their connection to the vine. If you don't believe in me, you won't grow from anything that I have to say. If you want an upgrade, you have to be restored by the Word of God. But not only restored, the text reveals that you have to be repositioned.
Yeah.
Come on now, reposition. Somebody say reposition. There comes a time when you have to look toward heaven and say, Lord, I just want more of you.
Yeah.
You have to be willing to be repositioned.
That's
the
right.
Same people, the same places, the same things. If it didn't work last year, it's not going to work this year. You need to be willing to be repositioned by God.
Yeah.
And to be repositioned, he has to take you out of a place of comfort. When you're comfortable, you can't grow. When you can't grow, you can't produce. When you can't produce, the Bible says I have to get rid of you because you're no good. Reposition yourself. Be willing and open for God to move you into better things. The vine dresser has the wisdom to know how and when the pruning should take place. If the pruning process didn't take place right away and at the right time, the whole crop would die.
Come on now.
Right? You can't just come in and say, everybody get out. You're no longer members.
Come on now.
God did that in Stroudsburg. The church had three people left in it.
Three.
There are times when we wonder why we can't keep certain things.
Yeah.
There's a time we wonder why we can't keep certain people in our lives.
Come on.
Could it be?
Yeah.
Come on now.
Yeah.
Could it be because they're simply not good for the mind?
Preach.
See, we don't think about that.
Preach.
We're so busy holding on to stuff and holding on to people. And God is trying to tell you, I'm trying to prune this because I want you to produce more fruit. But you can't produce more fruit because you've got all these dead branches around you. You have to be willing to be repositioned.
Come on.
Yeah, right. Hallelujah.
There's two things that are involved in pruning. The first thing, it says that all dead wood has to be removed. Say it again. All dead wood has to be removed. This is done because dead things have no value unless you're an undertaker to the living.
Come on now.
Amen.
The dead have no value to living things.
No. Come on.
Am I right about it?
Yes.
Dead wood provides shelter for what? Insects and disease.
Come on.
So if you've got a lot of dead wood around you, get ready for an infestation. See, we don't want
to
hear that because we don't want to let go of stuff.
All right.
Come on.
It also takes away from the beauty in the branches.
Come on.
Did you ever be a wonderful person in an ugly situation?
Come on.
Have you ever seen someone with so much potential that you just don't know what to do? But then you look at everything around them and you say, my goodness, all of that good. It's like putting a diamond ring in a litter box.
Yeah.
Come on now.
Yeah.
Ain't nobody but Jesus going to dig that out because I'm going to leave it right there.
Come on.
The vine dresser cuts away dead wood from branches so that the branches might produce fruit. There are times when we complain about our circumstances of life, but really we just need to praise God.
Yes, we need to talk to
him. I could sit up here and complain about how much I hurt, or I could just thank God that he allowed me to see another day.
Yes.
One that I've never seen before. And now, Pastor Dan, I won't see it again. So right now, I'm going to give him all that I got. The second thing involved in pruning is that live wood needs to be cut back.
Yes.
If you come to my house, there's beautiful rose bushes all through the backyard.
Come on.
But if you don't cut them down, all they do is look like they looked last year.
Come on.
But if you cut them down at the right time, they get bigger. And every year they get bigger and more beautiful. I bought them on clearance because I was cheap. They were this big. And I said, if they're only $7, if they die, they die. Now they're 6 feet tall because we pruned them at the right time so they could produce more fruit. Cutting and pruning suggests pain. There's nothing pretty about pruning.
That's right.
Because when God prunes us, he takes and he plucks things around us to get to us. And then when he gets to us, he's gotta work on us.
Yes, he does.
Did you ever cut a piece of a branch and it wasn't at the right time?
Come on.
And it got real difficult.
Yeah.
And before you knew it wasn't a clean break, and then you had to do this and that.
Come on.
That's painful. It's a symbol of trials and tribulations that we sometimes have to endure. God's not being cruel. He's just dealing with us.
Come on, talk to us.
Pain is experiences that branches might bear more fruit.
Yeah.
I'll take a little pain if I know that there's fruit on the other end of it. Amen, somebody. It's worth noting how the branches are connected to the vine. They're connected to the Word of God. There has to be productivity in the branches, and the branches must receive the Word.
Yes.
If you sit in church every Sunday and suck up the Word and don't do anything with it, you're not producing.
Hallelujah.
If the branches abide in the vine, they abide in the Word.
Yes.
And His Word works, doesn't it?
Yeah.
There's an answer for every problem that we have in the Bible.
Yes.
Fruitful branches are shown three ways. They're shown with fruit, they show them with more fruit, and they show them with much fruit. So I'll ask you, what kind of fruit are you producing?
Hallelujah.
Some, more, or much?
Much.
Look at the people in your life. Are they fruitful? Are you bringing value to the people around you?
Yeah.
Are you pouring into people?
Yeah.
Are they receiving it?
Oh, yeah.
Because if you take the time to pour into someone's life and they don't receive it, give it to somebody else.
That's right.
Come on now. See, we don't like to do that because we like to be comfortable.
Yeah.
And we hate to let go of stuff.
Yeah.
The fruitful, he cuts back so they can bear more fruit. When a Christian is going through trials, we like to say, oh, he must have some secret sin. No, I just have a great work for me to do. In order for me to do a great work, I've got to have a great test first. Because God wants to know, what is he going to do?
Yeah.
Now that I'm testing him, is he going to stand on my word? Is he going to stand on my promises?
Yeah.
Or is he going to follow me?
Yeah, come on now.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Oh, but quiet.
Come on, pray.
Will you commit? When you keep commandments in the face of the trial.
Okay.
Come on.
Right? Yeah. That's the whole point of the test.
Yeah.
What will you do? What you gonna do?
Stand.
So when we look at the world, so listen. What do we look like the world?
Preach.
All right, come on.
Are y'all hearing me?
Yeah.
When we look like the world.
Yeah.
When we act like the world, when we dress like the world, when we cuss like the world, when we drink like the world, when we fornicate like the world, we're not producing any fruit. What does your fruit look like? If you don't have any, you need an upgrade. We know that they're not free. Upgrades aren't free, are they? But this one is free.
Come on.
Hallelujah.
It's already been paid for.
Yes.
Help me out, I'm almost, but it's already been paid for. When Christ laid his head down and he gave up the ghost, all the upgrades that you'll ever need have been paid for. Because he's already been tried and he's already died, and the debt has been paid. And anything that you need from God, all you have to do is abide in the Bible and get this one. Thank you. cars. This gonna be my next car. Pass me on the road. I picked up Devin. I said, that's gonna be my next car. He thought I was talking about a Hyundai. In front of me, the devil is alive. And I said to him, I said, if you can't get at least what you had, and you can't, or you can't upgrade, you may as well keep what you got.
Yeah, that's all
right. Right?
Upgrade.
Don't be satisfied with a mamby-pamby personal walk with Jesus Christ. Because he'll meet you where you are, and he'll order your steps.
Yes,
and if he orders your steps, you have to think about that. If he orders your steps, right? If you get with God, you get with him on a personal level, then you will order your steps. The Bible says that a godly man's steps are ordered by the Lord. Are you with me? So if he orders your steps and you're with him, you got to think about it. He ordered your valley experience.
Yeah.
He ordered your sickness. So whatever it is that you're going through, just trust in him and know that your steps are ordered by the Lord. And after a great test comes a great word. See, y'all missed that. I don't have it in me, but you need an upgrade. Is there something in your life that isn't right? Is there something in your life that you've been dealing with that's not right and it won't go away? Then you're the problem. Something's not right. You need to come and fix it. You need to come and put it at the altar and leave it with the Lord. If what you're doing doesn't work, try Jesus. I know he's all right. I coughed all night long. I ain't coughed once since I've been up here. God will do what he said he would do. And I said to him before I got up here, just let me get through this. If I have to go home and pass out, I'll go, but let me speak a word. God is going to meet you right where you are. Amen. Upgrade. Say upgrade. Say upgrade. Say upgrade. Open. Every head bowed, every eye closed.
Yes, Lord.
The doors of the house are open. They're open for special prayer. If you need something, you don't have to put it in my ear, but come up here to the altar. We'll anoint you. We'll pray with you. The Bible says to come boldly before the throne of grace. Don't just wave your hand. Just don't wave your hand and we're going to pray for you. If you want something bad enough, you've got to get up and come get it. If you need restoration in your mind, if you need restoration in your spirit, if you need restoration in your heart, you need to come right now. For your discretion and privacy, the cameras in the church will pan upward. Your business won't be on the street, but come. Come. The doors of the house are open for membership. If you need a place to call home, and everybody needs a place to call home, if the Lord has been speaking to you, understand this, tomorrow is not promised. Do it right now. If you need a church home, come. We'll be glad to have you. There's work to be done. The doors of the house are open for prayer. You're open for Jesus. If you don't know Jesus in the full pardon of your sins, you need to walk right now. If you need a blessing, you know only God can do it. Come right now. Let us pray with you and let us pray for you so we stand in agreement. Doors are open.